Good evening, everyone. Can y'all hear me okay? No? Hello, can you hear me okay? Okay, try again. There we go. We've got the mic on now, so that's good. Well, I am filling in tonight. Jonathan said we could go from anywhere from 15 minutes to an hour. So we'll just see how it goes and see what happens. But this is going to be more like a Sunday school class than it is speaking. But I knew y'all would love to have something to fill out. So I prepared a fill-out sheet that we can all do together as we go through. First of all, let's talk about a couple of announcements that are coming up. Let's not forget that this Sunday at 2 o'clock in room 104 down here, they're going to have a baby shower for Alyssa and Christopher Fawfaw. And so just encourage you to come to that at 2 o'clock. We will do prayer requests at the end today, and be sure and talk about that. Let's see, we've got some more coming in. Let me get a hand down. So, on our little trifold, we'll just go over a few of the things that are coming up so that everybody will be on the same page. Our members' meeting will be November 23rd. We'll be presenting the budget at that time. Thanksgiving dinner will be here on the 27th on Thanksgiving Day from 11 to 1. Encourage you to volunteer to help out for that. Our November events, on November 23rd, there will be no donuts members meeting. On November 26th, there's no Wednesday night activities. And let's see, the men's chili cook-off was this last Monday night, and somebody won second place on that. So you'll have to ask who did that. Jamie asked who won first. I said, I was just excited with looking at my gift certificate for what I won. So anyway, I get to go to McAllister's. So, hey. Were any of the guys there that know who won?
Dave Humphrey, they said.
Dave Humphrey won. Okay. He's the winner. I didn't see what he got for winning, but had to be good. Tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. for the primetimers, they're having bingo here at 10:30. Bring a side dish, it says, to share with others. And the shoe boxes are due this Sunday for Samaritan's Purse, so encourage you to get those filled up and bring them in this Sunday if you're working on that. And that looks like the main set of announcements that we have. Tonight, we're going to talk about prayer. And so Jonathan said I could talk about whatever I wanted to. And I laughed and said, well, usually people ask me questions about investments and taxes. You know, it's not about other stuff. But tonight, we're going to talk about prayer. And just to tell you how this came about, I was actually walking on the golf course, playing golf, and praying and saying, Lord, what is it that I could talk about when it comes up at this time? And I just kept praying and praying, and then all of a sudden it came to me, you should talk about prayer. It's like, oh, okay, that works. So that's what we're going to do tonight. And I've pulled material from several different areas, and just so there's not just one Bible study that this came out of. But when we start off here, I want to talk a little bit about the Old Testament for just a few minutes about how prayer occurred in the Old Testament so much. And the rabbis taught that God was, and this is your first blank, that God was far off, that he was unapproachable. And so that's what the rabbis taught the Jewish nation, is that God is a long ways away from us, you know, and he's unapproachable. And so that changed naturally dramatically whenever we hit the New Testament and Christ comes on the scene. But what's interesting to me is using the word Father for God. And the word was used 15 times in the entire Old Testament, the word Father referring to God, only 15 times. When we get to the New Testament, the word Father was used 65 times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Anybody want to guess how many times it was used in John? And it was
110.
Close, 100. It was used 100 times in the book of John. And so what a dramatic change, you know, that Christ, now we're talking about the Father being near and approachable. And so what a switch that they had. In the Jewish Old Testament prayers, they talked about love, praise, thanksgiving, affirmation of God's holiness. They were celebrating God's laws. They would have the confession of sin and longing for a pure heart. And there was pleading to God. And one of the longest times of prayer that I found was that Moses interceded for the people. And the big thing was when he came down out of the mountain and they had the golden calf. And so then he destroyed it and went back up on the mountain to pray to God not to destroy the people. Anybody know how many days Moses prayed to God to not destroy the nation? 40, that's right. He prayed for 40 days to God, just continually seeking God's presence to say, don't kill them. Don't wipe out the Jewish nation. So that was the longest period of time I saw where somebody prayed for one thing continually for 40 days in that spot. In the New Testament, Father was used often. And the word most used, does anybody have a guess of what the most used word was for Father in the New Testament? Abba, that's right. And what does Abba mean?
Daddy,
that's right. So how did that change? You look at that swap that occurred. First in the Old Testament, God's unapproachable. Now all of a sudden, they're saying daddy. A term of endearment, a term of love, a term of somebody who's here to take care of me. I can have a relationship with them. And so just such a change that occurred when we get to the New Testament there. So one of the things about the apostles' prayers is that they were very brief. And the requests were explicit. They asked for very specific things in their prayer, but the prayers are also very brief. They did not go on and on, you know, kind of making a show out of a time of prayer and dragging the prayers on. They knew what they were praying for. They were specific, and they asked God to fulfill those needs that they were praying for. And that's what we're at today, is that we can do that same thing. We don't have to have a three-day prayer time to ask God for one thing. We can go to God directly and specifically and ask Him to meet those needs that we have and to help us. Yeah, it doesn't have to be 40 days. But it's personal, showing that we have a relationship with God where they didn't have that relationship in the Old Testament. I thought it was interesting that Paul expressed 8 times as many prayers in his epistles as the rest of the apostles did in all of theirs. So Paul was a praying person, praying man. He was constantly in prayer and communing with God. And that's amazing to me that he said 8 times more than anybody else. Now, let me catch up here. Got that? So when we look at Jesus' instructions about prayer, in Matthew 6, 5 through 6, he says, pray sincerely. We're to pray sincerely. And then in 1 John 5, 14 through 15, Jesus said, pray according to God's will. So we're to pray specifically or sincerely according to God's will. In Luke 18, 1 through 8, it tells us to pray persistently, to be persistent in our prayers. And in Mark 11:24, it says, pray with faith. Faith that God will answer our prayers, that He knows the best answer for our prayers for us. In Acts 6, 1 through 7, that is when the disciples were picking the first deacons to help serve. And who remembers why were they picking the deacons? What were the disciples going to do? They needed more time to do what?
To pray.
To pray and minister in the Word. And so they were looking for help so the deacons could come on and take care of the day-to-day needs, and then they would have more time for prayer and ministering. So it was so important, prayer, for them back at as they were getting started. The question comes up, what is prayer? It's communicating with God, and it says speaking, listening, worshiping, confessing, and seeking His will. We have a couple of verses here. We have Philippians 4, 6 through 7.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
So how does prayer bring peace? What did that verse say? The peace of God will come when we make our requests known to Him. When we pray to Him, that peace will come. God will guard our heart and mind. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18.
Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
What does it mean to pray for everything? What does that mean to you? Are there some things that are so small that we shouldn't go to the Lord in prayer with them? No. In everything, whether it's a big thing or a small thing, take it to God in prayer and let Him guide and direct us. How does prayer strengthen our faith? How does prayer strengthen our faith? When we see the results of the prayers, when God answers those prayers and we see Him guiding us and directing us through the answers to the prayers that we've lifted up. In what ways does prayer change us?
Builds our faith.
Yep, builds our faith.
It realigns our hearts and minds toward Christ so that we're praying in His will.
Yep, we're praying in His will. It aligns us with His will, as Jamie said.
Humbly in prayer. Pray humbly.
Right. And the next fill in the blanks we have, it's the question comes up, how should we pray? And Jesus gave us some instructions on how we should pray. And He said, pray sincerely, not for show. And that comes out of Matthew 6, 5 through 6. We're to pray sincerely. The next one, we're to pray according to whose will? God's will. We pray persistently from Luke 18, 1 through 8. And we're to pray with faith according to Mark 11, 24. So when you look at what Jesus instructed us, pray sincerely, according to God's will, persistently, and pray with faith. So those are some of the attributes that the way we pray that we need to be consistent with. I like the Acts model. And what y'all probably heard this before. The first one for Acts is A, adoration. We praise God for who He is. C is confession. We admit our sins and ask for forgiveness. And the T is for thanksgiving, that we thank Him for His blessings. And the S is for supplication, that we present our request to Him. Is there a certain one of those areas that you practice more than others?
Supplication.
Presenting our request. A lot of times we can go straight to that. We have an issue. We have something we need help with. We need direction. We go straight to supplication at that point for the S side. We're going at it backwards on the list here, right? How is it that we can start getting our hearts ready for God's answer? By following that layout of Acts, right? Show God adoration, praise Him, admit our sins, ask for forgiveness, thank Him for His blessings, and then present our request to Him. And that we'll be willing and able and ready to receive what God has shared or wants to share with us for those answers to those prayers. Which one of those things do you find the hardest between adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication?
Confession.
Yeah. It's not quite so hard to praise God for who He is because we understand how awesome, what an awesome God we have. But confession can be kind of tough sometimes, can't it? Well, that's a good point, is that I think God's ready to hear our supplications at that point of, Lord, I need help at this time. Now, if we have been in a state of adoration, confession, and thanksgiving as we go through our life on a day-to-day basis, God's not going to mind if we go straight to that point of supplication. Something comes up all of a sudden. You need prayer. You've got a request that you need. But it all comes back to our heart, doesn't it? Have we got our heart right when we approach God through these other steps of the act? So I just encourage you, that's a great way to remember the process. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. The challenge for us, it's to set aside daily prayer time. Does anybody have a specific time that you try to pray every day? We've got a couple. All right. What happens when we have that specific time? It's a routine. It's easier to do it, isn't it? Because you know it's this time. It's time for me to spend some time praying to God, being in God's Word. So that's something I'd really encourage you. I think it helps us to be more consistent when we do have that specific time that we do that on a regular basis. And keeping a prayer journal. How many people keep a prayer journal where you list the things? We've got some that do that. But that enables, what does that help us do with when we have a prayer journal? You can see, you can write down the answer to prayers that you've seen come about. And that can strengthen our faith when we see God answer those prayers. And so by having that prayer journal that we keep track of what requests we've made, it allows us that have that opportunity to be able to praise Him for answering those. And that can give us confidence that God's going to answer our prayers as we move forward when we see that power that He's demonstrated through that. And it talks about what happens when we pray. And the first one is God's response. It says He hears us, He answers us in one of three ways. What are one of the three ways that God answers us?
Wait
is one of them.
Yes, no,
wait. What's the hardest one for you?
No, wait.
Wait. No, usually no or wait. I think wait is the hardest one for me because it's like, well, if I had a no or a yes, I know which way we're going here, right? But if it's a wait, maybe God wants me to get my heart more in tune with Him at that point. And before, you know, it's me that's not ready for the answer so many times. Not God's not ready to give me an answer. But that's something that we need to focus on, is trying to be willing to wait. And He changes us through prayer. Romans 12:2 shares that. In Acts 12:5, it says, he acts in power when people pray. Is it hard to stay faithful when you feel like the answers to your prayers are being delayed? Does that become a challenge sometimes? Because our timing is different than God's timing, isn't it? How many times have you waited on an answer and you really wanted God to give you an answer, but then when that answer comes, you realize why that answer didn't come in our timing? It came in God's timing, when we were ready to have an answer for that issue or how that affected somebody close to us or our family. And so that can be a challenge, but something that we need to have faith that God will answer that. It's just a question of his timing, not our timing. Have you ever thought about that when we sing in worship, especially on, I think of Sunday mornings when that is, you won't catch me singing other times. It's going to be in corporate singing on Sunday mornings, that we're really involved in corporate prayer. Because aren't we singing praises to God? We're sharing our concerns to him. All this through those songs that we sang. I had never thought about that before. Is that song service is a corporate prayer time that we're having.
If I may, when I'm up there singing, whether it's in the choir or on a praise team, if you see me with my eyes closed, it's not that I'm falling asleep. I'm envisioning us being literally before the throne, because that's what we're doing. We're worshiping, and we're providing that worship through our song, and so that's where we are. You know, spiritually we're there, physically we're here, but I close my eyes and see the throne. You see us there, and it's just gets me in the right mood for sure.
Absolutely. That's an awesome way to approach it. It is. Let's look at some of the prayers of Jesus that he shared. And so I'll just share a couple of scripture references and what he was doing. But Jesus showed constant communication and dependence on God. He prayed early in the morning. Mark 1:35 tells us about that, that it says very early in the morning while it was still dark. Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Do we see that often? Christ did that a lot, didn't he? Do we hear about him going and praying all night long when things are coming up, when big decisions are coming up? And what did he do so many times? Did he get 50 people around him and say, hey, we're going to have a prayer meeting and we're all going to pray about this? He didn't. He went, for him, he went away from the crowds so that he could focus on communicating with the Father. So he spent intense time and many times all night long in prayer to prepare him for what was coming up in his life, what events he was going to face, whether it be in the next day or the next week. But if it's important enough for Christ to spend all night in prayer, how much more important is it that we spend more than 5 minutes, more than 10 minutes in prayer, that we spend whatever time's necessary to allow God to work in our lives and to answer those prayers for us, which sometimes that's going to take just a little bit of time, because what does God want? He wants to make sure he has our attention, and he wants to make sure we understand that he's providing these answers to us, and he's guiding us and directing us. So it talks about Jesus praying after a day of ministry in Luke 5:15-16. And there it talks about how, but Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place and prayed, even though it was busy all around him. I mean, what were the crowds doing? They were following him. They wanted to know where he was going. I sometimes wonder, how did Jesus get away from the crowds to be able to go to the solitary place? You would think people are watching him. You know, I can see people, you know, like, there he goes. He's going up the mountain. Let's all go with him, you know, and stuff. But Jesus was able to go away by himself and spend time in prayer with the Father. Jesus prayed before making important choices. When he chose the 12 disciples in Luke 6:12-13, it says, In these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued to pray to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles. And so, once again, before any major decision, Christ spent time in prayer to make sure he was in tune with God's will. And he knew how important this was going to be to have those 12 apostles or disciples that he was choosing from the crowd that was following him. Prayers of gratitude. In John 6:11, that's where he fed the 5,000. And he took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed those who were seated. And the lesson from that is gratitude invites God's power and provision. God expanded that little bit of food that was given to feed all 5,000 people that were there. In John 11:41-42, the raising of Lazarus, he said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." Christ was showing thankfulness that shows his faith that God is already at work. He knew God was at work in that. It talks about prayers for others that Jesus shared. He prayed for his followers, he prayed for his enemies, and he prayed for the world. In Luke 22:31, he prayed for Peter's faith, and he said, "I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail." How awesome would that be to have Christ look at you and say, "I've been praying for you, that your faith will not fail." For all believers, in John 17, it's called the High Priestly Prayer, Jesus prayed for his disciples and for all who would believe through their message, for unity, holiness, and God's love to be in them. And for his enemies, when did he pray for his enemies that you can think of that sticks out the most? On the cross? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Is it tough to pray to forgive and pray for those who harm you? Sometimes we're willing to move on right past that part, aren't we? But we can sometimes have a greater impact if we pray for those who are being a stumbling block to us, that are in our way for some reason or some purpose. And what we can pray about is that God can use our lives to make a difference in them, that they can see God's love through us for them. Prayers of surrender and suffering. In Gethsemane, Jesus prayed in anguish but surrendered to the Father's will. You remember when in Matthew 26:39 in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." True prayer aligns our will with God's will, especially when we're facing trials. Prayers from the cross. We've already mentioned the one where he asked God to forgive them, but he also prayed, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," showing his trust in the Father that he was committing himself to him. In post-resurrection, he blessed his disciples. In Luke 24:50-51, it's while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. So he prayed in his resurrected body. He was still praying for them and encouraging them and inviting them to take the word and share the word with others. And then ongoing intercessions. Romans 8:34 and Hebrews 7:25 both talk about Jesus is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Isn't that a great verse to claim, or verses, that Christ is interceding for us before God? And so what a great testimony that is of him showing his love for us, that he's interceding. So let's talk a little bit about prayer requests. What prayer requests do y'all have this evening that we can... and write down?
I had one of the gentlemen who comes to Oakwood when we all walk and have our Know Nothing coffee club, just had serious surgery, and I got a text from his wife that he coded and they moved him
John, okay. Let's remember the Pitchford family with the death of their father today. Well, the funeral was today, sorry. And so had a great turnout, a great service, and stressing he became a Christian when he was 46 years old. And what I believe he was 95. Something along 96, okay. But he was super involved in so many Baptist things that went on with building churches, with disaster relief. And so the last 50 years of his life, he gave in serving others. And it was so neat to see, and the testimony that was shared, very, very encouraging, should be encouraging to all of us to see what he was able to do.
Ernita Carver is in a nursing home at the Baptist Village. She's not doing very well. She doesn't have strength in her legs, so she just seems to be declining. And of course, Jana Hill, likewise, at Baptist Village in a nursing home, is just not responsive very often.
Okay. All right.
David, my wife Kathy has surgeries Friday. We don't know the time yet down in the city to have the permanent implantation of the electrical stimulators for her spine to basically blank out the pain for her waist down.
Okay. Okay.
Matt Hughes, the principal of Alcomas, he had had his gallbladder out and developed blood clots. He went through three different surgeries to remove clotting. They discovered a rare blood disorder that causes platelet count to be really high. I guess they thought they had it okay, sitting home Saturday night, Sunday. Wasn't good. He basically told his family, he goes, I'm dying. And they finally got him to go back to the hospital yesterday. I haven't heard an update since they got him back.
Okay.
Yeah, his brother, yeah, they celebrated 1 year. His little brother, Travis, his younger brother, Travis, had worked for Ena Public Schools and had a heat stroke August, September of last year. And so this is kind of another hit for family.
A tough one. And it's Daphne?
Daphne is her name.
Okay.
Very precious, very nice. And she's struggling really hard right now with her life.
Donnie Hancock is having hip replacement surgery here in the next week or so. Next Monday? 18th. Right. For those who didn't hear, he did break a rod in his back from his back surgery, but everything is in good shape. The bones are all good. Everything's, the cage is in place. The doctor said there's no need to go in and do any surgery because everything is proper in his back. That would still make me nervous to have a broke rod, but the doctor says it could, you know, do more harm than good if they went in and tried to do anything. So.
Well, you remember the Thanksgiving dinner, and that we can actually touch the hearts of some people.
Our Thanksgiving dinner that we hold here, it's so many people don't even have families in town that they can share a meal with, and we give them an opportunity to come here, have a good meal, be able to share with a group of people, and we'll be taking a lot of meals out to people too, so let's remember that. So just a lot of people in need, and you know, I don't know how long it's going to take for some of these SNAP benefits and stuff to get going again, but hopefully that will help out soon, but it's going to take some time. It takes a little while to filter down. It's a government thing. So.
We need to pray for our government.
Yeah. For the government, that we pray for our government of our country. So Charlotte recovering from surgery. Okay. it becomes a process, doesn't it? Getting put back together. Yeah. I'll mention our son, Michael. He had a tick bite, and he has alpha-gal, which I'd never heard about, but it's an allergy to meat, which you get when you've been bit by certain ticks, and they can carry that. And anything that's a meat product makes him sick at his stomach. Even you think about milk and how many things meat products are in, it just really limits your choices out there. So, and they don't really have a cure. He's trying some non-conventional cures, acupuncture and some other things that apparently have worked for some people. And so you're trying to just figure out how can he get better.
Does that go away?
No.
Does that go away?
It does not. Supposedly that allergy is with you for the rest of your life. So, which would be a pretty large lifestyle change. Anything that has to do with meat or touches meat. Let's remember to pray for Jonathan and his family. They're going over to Branson to enjoy a few days rest and get away. And I know they're going to David at the Sight and Sound Theater, which is a really good show. All their shows are very good. If you've never been to Sight and Sound Theater, it's worth a trip to see. It's not a small production. Let's just put it that way. Other prayer requests. All right. Can I have one or two people that volunteer to pray in general for what we've lifted up today? And I'll close this in a few minutes. Let's see a hand or two to pray for us. I'm going to volunteer Mike to start us. Anybody else like to pray and then before I close? Okay, Mike, if you'll pray, I'll close us.
Pray, Lord, that you would say, if I don't have some downtime to recharge the batteries, Lord, and Joy's young family, Father, I pray that you would just help him to just enjoy some free time without the cares of the load that he carries here, Father. Lord, I pray, Father, for these needs that we brought forth, Lord, for Donnie, this pain that he's having. I pray that you just give him relief, Lord, and be with him as he has his surgery. We pray for the Pittsford's, Father, that even though it's a celebration, that there's a sense of loss, and that is so normal, but they have hope because he was a Christian. He knew you, and they know you, Father. Just be with them and wrap your arms around them, I pray.
Lord, we just ask you to meet the needs of so many of these requests that we've mentioned tonight, Lord. We just thank you for the way you work in our lives. Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to have a good ministry on Thanksgiving Day, to where we can touch the lives of many people in our community, that we can share your love with them. And Lord, help us to know how to do that well. Lord, we thank you for our staff, and I just pray that you'll protect them and encourage them. And Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to reach our community, that we'll be able to impact people's lives for you. Lord, we thank you for your love. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.